Awesome. Thank you. Well, I'm honored to be up here today, and I'm excited to share what God has been sharing with me this past week. So let's pray. God, I do thank you for this time. I thank you for this opportunity. I just pray that as I speak, God, you speak through me. God, open up our hearts and our minds, God, to be more like you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So this morning, I want to talk to you about the title, When God Interrupts. When God Interrupts. We all love a good interruption, don't we? It's great. It's fantastic. When we are so focused on what we're doing and we get a phone call or we get a text or when someone stops us on the way into or out of the grocery store and we have a one-track mind and then all of a sudden we get interrupted. Something happens. Something interrupts our plan, our time, what we are doing. A traffic jam that makes us late, a long line at the grocery store, an unexpected illness, a broken washer, a phone call at the worst time ever. It's fantastic, isn't it? If you don't know, I'm kidding. I'm being sarcastic. It's not. No one likes an interruption. Nobody does. And I was thinking about this past week, because last Saturday, for those of you that don't know, I'm a dance director of Divine Dance Studio, and we had dance pictures. And after dance pictures were done, I was alone with one of the other teachers. We were just picking up and a student. And something was said that reminded me of a memory that I had. Do you ever like think you forgot about something and then something comes up and then this memory just pops into your head and you're like, whoa, where did that come from? I thought I forgot about that. So that's what something triggered in the conversation that made me think about this memory. And in order to move forward in the message, I want to share with you the memory. So I start telling them this story about when it was about like 21, 22. I was going to college. I was up at Brockport. I was going for dance and teaching, actually, at the time. And I was like just kind of not really knowing where I wanted to go. And so someone suggested, oh, you should try out for this dance team. It was a famous sports team, dance team. I was like, yes, okay, I'm going to do that. And so I go to tryouts. There's about 7 of us there. We audition, and the audition process takes about an hour when you audition for a dance team. And when you're done, you go and you wait in the waiting room, and they call you in one by one to the office, and they let you know right then and there if you made the cut. So we're waiting in the waiting room, and my name gets called, and I go into the office and sit across from the dance director of the team, and she goes, well, I have to tell you, you were the best dancer out there today. However, there are some things you would need to change. There are some things in your body you would need to change, add. You would also need a makeup consultant because your face is just not, it's not what we look like on our team. And you also would need to do something different with your hair. And I remember sitting across from this, like, happening, right? And I'm like, what? Like, just not even understanding what was happening. And so she goes, unless you plan on making those changes to your body, then I'm sorry you don't make the cut today. And I was like, okay. And I go out into the waiting room, and I can see this girl so very clearly. She stands up, and she goes, so you made it, right? And I was like, no, I didn't. And she goes, really? And I'm like, yeah, apparently I'm not pretty enough. And I walked outside. And I got in my car, and I cried all the way home. And I cried for about 2 weeks after that. And I was like, what in the world, you know? And so there are times, it made me think about times in my life. And at the time, you know, Miss Becca, she does not have a mean bone in her body. She's like, I'm telling her this story. And she's like, are you serious? Are you kidding me? I'm like, no, I'm like, I'm fine right now. You know, it's fine. Like, it's just brought back this memory that I had. And it made me think about times in life where God comes in and interrupts your plan because it's not lining up with his plan, because he has a better way. And the Bible says in Proverbs 19:21 that you can make many plans, but the Lord's purpose will prevail. You can make many plans, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. Do you know that nowadays you can actually hire someone to plan out your life? You can hire someone. They're called life gurus, life coaches, senseis, whatever you want to call them. And whether or not you have a master plan And I'm all for plans. The Bible says make your vision down. Write it down on a tablet. Make it plain, right? We are all for making plans. I love plans. I love planning the services. I want a schedule. You know, I plan the recital. I want everything planned out. And whether or not you have a master plan actually written out, you have in your head a vision of how you want your life to be and how you want your life to go. You know, I have goals. I have a vision for my family. I have a vision for this church. I have a vision for the studio. And just like you, I want to accomplish things in my life. I want to go certain places, and I want to do certain things. I don't want to waste my life, like I'm sure none of you do either. And there are many times when God messes up my life plan, and I have to recognize that it's because he has a purpose that maybe my plan didn't include. And we have to look at these interruptions as God making a better way for us. Proverbs 16:9, we can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps. So what actually happens when God interrupts us? What actually goes through our minds and our hearts? Because at that moment in my life, my heart was hurt and my mind was leading me to believe that I was less than what I really was. And a lot of times, our pain in the moment is setting us up for purpose in the future. Our pain in the moment, what we're going through at that time, is actually setting us up for purpose in the future, because God only knows what would have happened had that plan actually went through. He only knows what my life would have been like, where I would have gone, who I would have been with, what I would have been like. I sure wouldn't be here had my life went this way and God interrupted that plan. And we find in the Bible, God interrupts many people in the text. David, he was the youngest of all these brothers, right? And he was a shepherd boy. He was tending sheep. God interrupted his life. He was brought in. He killed Goliath, and he was made king. And then he ended up being out of the ancestors of Jesus. God interrupted a shepherd boy and made him king. Noah, a normal guy, just living his life, who God found grace, the Bible says, in his eyes. I'm sure he wasn't expecting his life plan to build an ark that would save many people. I'm sure that wasn't in his life plan, but God interrupted his life and said, Noah, I need you to build this ark that's going to save, you know, the people, because our world is a mess right now. I'm sure Noah wasn't expecting that God interruption. Esther, who lost her mom and dad, she was an orphan girl living with her uncle. I'm sure she had no plans of going into a kingdom for such a time as this, the Bible says. I'm sure she didn't know that time when she was just a young girl, that she would go in and she'd be set before the king that would save her people. A God interruption. The disciples, who were fishermen, tax collectors, just normal guys, God interrupted their lives to become disciples and to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. A God interruption. When our plans are not lining up with the purpose God has for us, he will often interrupt what we are doing. And here's just a few things to remember when God interrupts. The first thing is God's call often comes as an interruption to our plans. And I could probably go off of many people in the Bible, but I just went off three, right, or four. I want to go off of three different people that we can learn these things from. God's call often comes as an interruption to our own plans. So we're going to look at a guy named Saul, later Paul. This guy was so committed, if you've read the story, he was so committed to hurting, to putting an end to Jesus and his disciples. He stood by the stoning of Stephen, and he was pleased. He was happy about it. He wanted to put an end to anybody who believed in Jesus Christ. He hated Jesus that much. He was so against. I mean, you think about a person who just does not love Jesus at all. That's Saul. And he was pleased at people getting hurt because they loved Jesus. So much to the point where he went in front of the high priest in Jerusalem to travel to surrounding areas and bring back in chains anybody who claimed Jesus as their savior. That's how much he disliked Jesus. But one day, God interrupted his plan. One day, on the road to Damascus, to bring people back in chains who claimed Jesus, one day God interrupted it. And this is what happened. This is how I envision like a Broadway show if, you know, one is ever made about Saul, you know. So he's walking down the road to Damascus, and all of a sudden this bright light comes like from heaven, right? Ah, that's what I see. And so this bright light comes, and it stops Paul, or Saul, right in its tracks, right? And this is what the light said. It was God. He said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" To which Saul responded in awe and probably in fear, "Who are you, Lord?" And the one that interrupted his life said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." And from that moment on, he went through some trials. He was blind. Someone had to come and just help him train up, you know, the ways of Jesus and everything. But from that moment on, from that interruption, from that encounter, Saul was a changed man. So much to the point where God actually changed his name to Paul. And he spent the rest of his life living for something and someone greater than himself. And because God interrupted his life, nearing the time of his death, Paul wrote these words saying, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." All because of a God interruption. He went on to write some of the most compelling scriptures in the New Testament. An ordinary, mean, mugged man was interrupted by God for an interrupted life that now had purpose. God's call often comes as an interruption to our own plans. Are you allowing God to interrupt your plans for his? Another thing we have to remember about an interruption is that one interruption can change not only you, but a town. If you look at John 4, you're going to see the woman at the well. And I'm sure we've heard many stories about the woman at the well in regards to many different things, and I've never quite looked at her this way. So this woman was an outcast. Nobody really liked her. She had a past. She went to the well, which was a woman's duty to go grab water at a certain time of day, but she didn't go at the time of day that everybody else went. She went at a different time of day because she just didn't want to be talked about. She didn't want to be looked at funny. She didn't want to be hurt any more than she already was. And so she tried to sneak out at a different time when no one was around, so she thought. She was hurting. She was getting through life. And Jesus interrupts her day. He has a conversation with her that no man at that time should be having with such a woman. She was an outcast. Jesus was a Jew, and she was a Samaritan woman. Those two did not mix, let alone a man talking to a woman. But Jesus interrupted her day and changes her life forever. He has a conversation with her about living water. He has a conversation with her about what she's done in the past and how there's a living water, a grace that will come in and save her from everything that she's done. And she feels the true love of Jesus. And this interruption that Jesus had with her totally changes her life, and therefore it actually changed the town. And we know that because we read in John 4:39 that many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me everything I ever did," she said. And because of her testimony that happened because of a God interruption, not only was her life changed, but a whole town was changed as well. And we can learn that a God interruption can not only change you, but the people you are around every day. And who knows, maybe it could even change a town. Are you letting the God interruptions in your life affect you? And not only you, are you letting them affect everybody that you're standing around every single day? And the third thing that we can learn from a God interruption is what you do with a God interruption is up to you. It's actually up to you. And for this thought, I thought about Mary, the mother of Jesus. If you think about it, she was a young teenage girl with a future in front of her. She was a good daughter. She was a faithful follower of God. she was set up to be married. She was engaged. You know, she was looking at dresses, setting up her Pinterest board. I mean, she was just a young girl. And God interrupted her life. She found favor in the eyes of God and was interrupted by an angel that said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus." I would have been like, excuse me? No, I think you have the wrong girl. You can go find somebody else. Not up for that challenge. No, thank you. Her life was about to change. I mean, and how scary. She could be looked down upon. Her parents could disown her. Her fiancé could reject her and be full of rage. So many things could happen. But this was Mary's response to this God interruption. This is what she said. She said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Let it be to me according to your word." That's just an amazing response to the God interruption. And because of her response, the world was never the same, and neither was she. But what a powerful lesson that we can learn, that when God interrupts us, instead of saying, "Thanks, but no, I'm good. I'm just going to keep doing what I want to do," we can say, "Okay, God, let it be to me according to your word." When God interrupts our plan, our attitude should be that of thankfulness and of trust. We have to trust that he knows what's best for us. He knows what he's doing more than we know what we're doing, right? And we have to be thankful that he loves us enough not only to interrupt us, but to steer us in the right direction. Remember that most of the time when God is working in our lives, it's actually disguised as an interruption. Can we get to the place where we say, "God, whether it's this or that, I want you to be in it. Wherever you are, God, I want to be. So if you need to interrupt my plan for yours, then so be it. Interrupt me." I've prayed many times, "God, if this isn't your plan for my life, interrupt my plan, God. Interrupt the service. Interrupt where we're going, because I don't want to go anywhere that you are not. And if my plan isn't lining up with your plan, then interrupt me, God, and let me see it. Let me be open to it, and let me say to you, God, I trust you. I trust your plan for my life, even though I don't understand it." Do you think Mary understood what was happening? Do you think Paul understood what was happening? Do you think the woman at the well really could comprehend what was going on? We don't always understand the interruption, but if we have the response that Mary did, "Let it be to me according to your word," he's going to take you in the places that he only could imagine for you. That's what a God interruption will do. He knows exactly what he's doing. And he knows what you need and what I need and where we need to be better than we do. So are we able to say, "God, will you interrupt my life if my plans aren't lining up with yours?" And are you going to be willing to allow him to be that interruption that you need at the time that you need it? Amen? Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for interrupting many of our lives here today. We wouldn't be here had it not been for a God interruption. And I just thank you, God, for allowing us just to trust you. God, and even in the future, if you interrupt our plans, God, let it be because you have plans that are better than we could even imagine. And God, let us just say to you, thank you. And let us be open enough to say, "God, let it be to me according to your word." And I thank you, God, for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Beautiful. Wasn't that just amazing? Thank you, Aaron. Interruptions. I was thinking about some interruptions in my life. I was thinking about when I had the pulmonary embolism and they took me in the ambulance from Batavia to Rochester. And I'm thinking, why am I here? This is amazing. And I got in the ambulance and the gentleman in the ambulance said, "Are you Pastor Marty?" I go, "Yes. Could I talk to you about my family a little bit, about my wife and I?" And from Batavia to Rochester, he asked me to pray for him and stand with him while he was in a battle with his home. And I was thinking, God, could you just have him call the office and make an appointment? But God uses things when we ask him to do that. We have to be open to these interruptions when they come, because they never come when we're prepared. When they're going to fit into your schedule, hear me now, for some of you, some people get so upset. When I was coming back from Cuba, we went through Toronto. We got in, plane was late, everything. And then when we got through all the customs, guess what happened? The baggage handlers went on strike. For almost 3 hours, we stood. People were mad. They were using every kind of lie, even some things that I hadn't heard. We were in Canada. I said, "Well, God, what do you?" And I'm tired, smelly. I want to go home. "Okay, Lord, what do you want to do?" And I looked over and I see this lady in a wheelchair. She's checking her blood sugar. And I went over to her. I said, "Hi. I see what you're doing because I watched my wife do that." She goes, "Yeah, I need food." I said, "I got a bar in my bag." "Really?" "Yes." "Let me go buy you some water." "Really?" "Yes." "Can I pray for you?" "Yes, oh, please." I thought, God, did you let those people go on strike just so I would do that? Interruptions for God's purpose to happen in your life. I pray, God, for you to release over every life here. Stop us in our tracks if you need to this week. Interrupt us for your glory in Jesus' name. I love you. God bless you. Aaron, will you go up to the back so everybody can just say thank you for a wonderful message? Aren't you appreciative of our Pastor Aaron this morning? I love you. God bless you. If you need prayer for anything, you come on down. We'll be up here. We'd love to pray for you. Go in his grace today. Be praying for the people that are being water baptized, okay? If you know Christ as your Savior and you've never been water baptized, come on back. We can do that today together, okay? If you need prayer before you leave today, come on down. Let these folks pray over you. Go in his grace today. I love you.